the assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. All right, well, let's get into the week of baseball that we just had. We had quite a bit going on this week, actually. So on Monday night, Sandy Alcantara, the starting pitcher for the Miami Marlins, man, he's been having one hell of a season. And most people, I mean, of course, you hear the name, but he's not like some household superstar name, and that's, of course, because he plays for the Marlins. But it doesn't matter. This guy is just pitching his brain out this season, and he just has not let up at all. This week he pit against the San Diego Padres. He pitched 7 innings in a shutout, and that is actually his 8th straight start with 7 innings pitched and no runs. Like, that is just insane. Now, given that he plays for the Miami Marlins, expect this guy to become trade bait any year now, because that's how the Miami Marlins do. They get these great players like they've had in the past. Like, let's use Giancarlo Stanton, for example. He used to play for the Marlins, and he signed a huge deal with the Marlins as well. And then they ended up trading him away to the New York Yankees years ago. And so I'm kind of expecting the same thing to happen to Sandy Alcantara at some point. But regardless of whenever that happens, dude is having a phenomenal season. You know, he didn't have too bad of a season last year. He wasn't like as phenomenal as he is this year, but you could tell last year he was going to turn into something special. And this season he's pitching in Cy Young form. And, you know, as far as the NL goes, it's really close, because there are a lot of good pitch. There's a ton of good pitching this year. I mean, there's a lot of great hitting this year, but the pitching has also been phenomenal. But in the NL, I'm leaning towards Alcantara, even though Tony Gonsolin of the Dodgers, he's playing great as well. And yes, I know, I hate the Dodgers, so you're thinking this bitch has Dodger bias because she hates them. No, I just think Sandy Alcantara is just having that type of a year. And he plays for the Marlins, for Christ's sake, and they're not a good team at all, but he's keeping this team. When he steps onto the field, they're playing a good game. All right, so then on Tuesday night, Charlie Morton, speaking of great pitching, Charlie Morton of the Atlanta Braves, he had 12 strikeouts against the Mets in a win. And actually the Braves ended up sweeping the Mets this week, which is great for them, because that's a huge division battle and also a battle for, the playoffs. So this is when you want to win. You want to be when you need to beat the good teams, this is really when you want to win, and the Braves are getting hot at the right time. Now, granted, the Mets are still a great team. I'm not falling back on them at all, but the Braves, they are putting it together offensively, defensively, and the pitching just gets better, and Charlie Morton, he just continued that trend this week and just absolutely obliterated the Mets. And then on the same night, the Phillies' Rhys Hoskins, he's been having a very quietly crazy season as well, where he's just been like lights out, but you're not really hearing about him. Against the Cincinnati Reds the other night, he had 2 home runs with 5 RBIs, so he continues to rake, and the Phillies still continue to be a pretty good team, right up there with the Braves and the Mets, their division rivals. So this is going to be a very interesting playoff run, especially, well, both leagues, but I think the National League's going to be a little bit more there's going to be a lot more teams that I feel have a better shot at the World Series than over in the AL, where I think the only 2 really good teams in the AL are the Astros and the Yankees, and the Yankees are sliding right now. So really, the only consistent team at this current point in time over there is the Astros, whereas in the NL, you can make a case for the Mets, the Braves, and the shit, I just lost my train of thought there, the Dodgers. Yeah, that's because I wanted to forget about the stupid-ass Dodgers. But regardless, there's a lot of good teams. And then you look at the Phillies, and I look at them, and I go, they could easily be an upset team come playoff time. But they're playing great baseball right now as well. Then moving on to Wednesday night, The New York Mets called up rookie Brett Beatty. And in his first at bat, he hits a home run right out of the park. And it's not only noteworthy that he hit his first home run in his first at bat, but I also wanted to give him a shout out because apparently he's from Austin too. Went to high school here. So, hook 'em horns. I don't know if he went to UT, but he's definitely from Austin. So, definitely always got to give shout outs to the Austin athletes here, because we do have, we've had many great athletes come out of Austin. I mean, hell, Drew Brees, ever heard of that dude? He's Austin homegrown, man. And then also on Wednesday night, Shohei Ohtani, man, he is having a phenomenal season, and he's actually currently on a 5-game hitting streak as well. At least on Wednesday night, he was. I didn't look at what he did last night, or if even the Angels played last night. Maybe they didn't play just because I didn't see anything from him. But on Wednesday against Seattle, he went 4-for-5 with a home run, a triple, and 4 RBIs. He just missed out on a cycle, as a matter of fact. But unfortunately for him, while he had an amazing game, the Angels lost the game. So it really sucks to see Shohei Ohtani wasting his talent here in an Angels uniform. But who knows? He may be with somebody new next year. But hopefully, if he's still with the Angels, they put a good team together, because I don't see how you can have Ohtani and Trout on the same team. And while Trout, yes, is injured right now, I don't see how you can have two of the best players in the league on the same team and not at least be contending for the playoffs, which the Angels are not. But during this 5-game hitting streak for Ohtani, he has a .526 batting average. Yeah, a .526. He's batting 10 for 19 with 2 home runs, 2 triples, and 6 RBIs. So he is just on fire right now. But unfortunately, like I said, the Angels are not. And then yesterday, man, people were just hitting the home runs like there was no tomorrow. Starting the day off with the Houston Astros beating the Chicago White Sox with a score of 21-5. Yeah, the Astros scored 21 runs. They are insane offensively and amazing with starting pitching. This team is going to be difficult to stop come playoff time. And yesterday's hitting fest, they had 4 home runs. Trey Mancini had one of them. Alex Bregman had 2 of them. And speaking of Bregman, dude has been hot the last couple of weeks. So look out for this dude. And then and he had 6 RBIs yesterday as well. And then Chris McCormick, he had a home run and 5 RBIs, and then Kyle Tucker also had 3 RBIs. So the Chicago White Sox are a good team, too, and the Astros were able to score that many runs on them. Look out for the Astros. But there were other dudes scoring a lot of runs yesterday as well. You had Andrew McCutchen, old-ass Andrew McCutchen. Just when you think this dude just was falling apart last year, the last couple of seasons when he, and maybe it just wasn't a fit with Philadelphia. That's what I'm kind of thinking here. It's just, he was not a fit in Philadelphia, because this dude has had a resurgence with the Brewers. Defensively, he has been phenomenal, but offensively, this guy is, he's not back to old Andrew McCutchen, but dude had 2 home runs yesterday in a win over the Dodgers. So shout out to Andrew McCutchen, because I've always been a huge fan of his. He's just a great player. Overall, great player. He's fun to watch, and I've just always felt bad for him because he's mostly played for shitty teams. I'm sure when he signed with the Phillies, he didn't expect them to suck that bad, but his time with the Phillies was very pathetic. So it's nice to see that he's coming off of those 2 mediocre seasons with the Phillies, and now he's here with the Brewers, and he's had quite the resurgence. Then Brian Reynolds of the Pittsburgh Pirates also hit 2 home runs in a win last night over the Boston Red Sox. And then speaking of the old dude, Albert Pujols, on his way to 700 home runs yesterday, comes into the game with a pinch hitter and hits a grand slam. Dude, it's just crazy to watch him still play this well at the age he's at. So shout out to both Albert Pujols and Andrew McCutchen, 2 great players who I've enjoyed, and it's nice to see both of them having phenomenal seasons. And so, you know, since we're closing out the week, Nobody wants to stop them. Nobody wants to stop the motherfucking Dodgers. Nobody. They are the first team to get to 80 wins this week. They are currently at 81 motherfucking wins. Can anybody stop this stupid team? Please. And then on the opposite side of things, the Yankees continue to slide. I mean, they're 3-7 in their last 10 games, and this week has not been kind to them. They just are not looking good. Offensively, that ever since Stanton got hurt a couple weeks ago, ever since they traded away Montgomery to the Cardinals, ever since King was placed on the IL, you could just see the Yankees are starting to fall apart. And, you know, you can talk about the injuries, but everybody's got injuries. I mean, the Dodgers have had plenty of injuries themselves, and they're at 81 wins. You know what I'm saying? And, hey, the Yankees are still – they're still great team. They're still a great team. They're definitely making the postseason. But their slide is just getting very concerning. You don't want to go into the playoffs like this. But they're still a solid team. Once they get Stanton back, they should get an offensive surge there, hopefully. But outside of Aaron Judge – the Yankees aren't getting a lot of offense. You know, Aaron Judge, he still continues to dominate. He leads the league with home runs still at 46. Leads with 102 RBIs as well. So he just continues to rack up the numbers. And he continues to have great games. But the rest of the guys around him are not looking good. And the pitching is even starting to fall apart too. So you don't know if the injuries are getting to them or if this is just actually who the Yankees are as a team. But it's not looking good for them right now. At least the last couple of weeks, it's not. And then also turning over to the pitching side, you've got the two pitchers with 15 wins, leading the league with 15 wins. You've got Tony Gonsolin of the Los Angeles Dodgers, who's 15-1 this season. And then Justin Verlander, man, speaking of the old dudes, yet again, Verlander, he leads the AL and the league with 15 wins. So both of them, they're having phenomenal seasons. And then rounding out the baseball talk. Didn't want to talk about something stupid like this, but here we go. Marcell Ozuna. He's been having a pretty good season for the Braves. As a matter of fact, this is probably the only negative news you're going to hear about the Braves so far, as far as this season has gone. He was arrested yesterday for a DUI. If you don't know, Marcell Ozuna last year was already suspended for what, like either the entire year or the majority of the year. He was suspended for a long time last year because of domestic violence against his wife or his girlfriend. I don't recall what she was to him, but regardless, he's already been suspended for domestic violence. Now he gets a DUI, and it's just so dumb. It's just so fucking dumb. One would think if you're coming off of a domestic violence problem and suspended, like he was suspended like 80 games, something crazy like that. So he was suspended for quite some time. He got quite the suspension. And then he came back. Sorry, I don't know if we got a big storm passing through. So I don't know if y'all heard that thunder in the background, but I'm getting some thunder. So sorry if you hear that shit. But you might not. But regardless, this was just stupid on Ozuna's part. I mean, so there's a good shot he's going to be missing the rest of the season, or he's going to get suspended. I don't know how baseball handles this kind of thing, if they're just going to suspend him right off the bat just because this is another offense, especially so close from last year. Or if they actually wait for the legal process, because I didn't read any details on what exactly happened. For all we know, this could be bullshit. He may not have really been drunk, drinking and driving. But regardless, I'm just going off of the news, and to see that he got a DUI, that's very disappointing, and it's also just very fucking stupid. Your team's making a huge run right now. The last thing they want to do is answer questions about you getting arrested yet again. So That rounds out baseball talk. So let's move on to UFC 278. Big matchup this weekend between Kamaru Usman, who is 20-1, versus Leon Edwards, who's 19-3. This is for the welterweight belt. Kamaru Usman is the belt holder right now, and he's the pound-for-pound champion as well. He's I would say he's the most dominant UFC fighter currently. There are a few guys you could probably argue for as well. But in my personal opinion, especially over the last couple of years watching UFC, Usman has definitely been front and center. He's been winning. I mean, the only time he's lost was his second fight ever. So the dude hasn't lost in a long ass time. So in my opinion, he's the best UFC fighter right now. And then Leon Edwards, he's not bad. He's not as flashy as Usman. I think Usman has the best all-around fighting game than anybody in the league right now. Leon Edwards is more of a ground-and-pound type of dude. So we'll see how this goes. Part one, actually, between these two, happened back in 2015. So these guys are two completely different fighters from then. And it was a very close fight between the two of them. I just watched it again the other day just to kind of catch up and see what happened. And I mean, it was mostly a lot of grappling. The two of them both, when they did get punches in, they got some really good shots in on each other. And like I said, it was a very evenly matched matchup, in my opinion, when I was watching it. You really couldn't tell. You could tell Usman definitely had the edge, but it was very slight. Honestly, the last matchup really could have gone either way, in my opinion. This time around, like I said, they're two completely different fighters. That was in 2015. That was literally years ago. So both of these guys, they've got a ton of wins under their belts. Hell, even when I was watching the fight between the two of them, it was crazy to see how much bigger Kamaru Usman is now. I mean, I guess it makes sense because he's been fighting all these years in between. So, of course, you're going to gain weight. And, of course, you're going to maintain muscle mass and just be a big-ass motherfucker since that's all you're doing is training and fighting. So I'm not shocked that he's that huge, but it's shocking. And the dude has like fucking 37 abs. I didn't know you could have that many abs, but the dude has a lot of fucking abs. So, fine as hell too. I have no issues watching Usman fights because, he looks great in those shorts. Just saying. But anyways, I think it's going to be a good fight. I think it's going to be a close fight. I do think Usman's going to get the win. I think Edwards is a good fighter. He obviously can hold his own. He held his own in the last fight against him. But they were both different fighters. Usman wasn't even a champion at the last time that they fought each other. So it was a completely different setup the last time around. So I do expect Usman to win. I actually think he's going to win in a submission, maybe in like the third or fourth round. I kind of see him wearing down Edwards as it goes on and then getting him to submit in the end. Because, like I said, the last fight between the two of them, it was a ground and pound the whole way. Like, the whole way. It was, in my opinion, I would call it a boring fight. Like, it was a good fight. Like I said, you couldn't tell who really had the edge on the other. But me, I like ground and pound, but I don't like it for the entire fight. Unless they get a really good submission in. Ground and pound for five rounds is it's kind of boring in my opinion. But that's just my opinion, because I do like boxing and I love to watch motherfuckers knock each other out. But I do see these two turning it into another ground and pound fight like they did the last time, because both of them, still to this day, even though they fought each other last in 2015, they both have improved their games, especially on the ground. So it's going to be very interesting. But like I said, I'm going to take Usman. Submission, third or fourth round. All right, and then moving on to college football, because we have college football right around the corner, guys. We are 2 weeks away from college football season kickoff. So that's exciting. And the college football AP Top 25 poll dropped, and it's actually not much different than the coaches poll that dropped, a week or two ago. Their top five is exactly the same as the coaches poll. They have Alabama at number one, which is duh. Number two is Ohio State. Like I said, I don't know how much I believe in Ohio State, but I mean, this is from kind of judging last year. So you can't really argue against Ohio State, and they do have a good team. And then number three is Georgia. And that's kind of why I'm looking at this with a side eye with Ohio State, because I think Georgia, they're the defending national champions, and also they had one of the best recruiting classes. I mean, Georgia is turning into like Alabama Junior, where they're getting some amazing recruits. And the fact that they just won a national championship, they've got a really solid coach. You got to look out for Georgia possibly repeating this year. And I that's why I think it's kind of weird that they're behind Ohio State, but hey, whatever. Maybe the these guys know a little bit more than I do, but whatever. It's just the preseason poll anyways. And then number four is Clemson, and then number five is Notre Dame. The only major difference I saw on the AP poll was that they don't have Texas ranked at all. Now, obviously, Texas has to earn their respect. And by the way, they just announced today that the starting quarterback for the season is going to be Quinn Ewers. I had a feeling that's how we were going to go. I mean, he was a top recruit. He's got to play at some point. And even though I was not impressed at all, he came in a couple games last season and he was awful. At least for the most part. He had a couple flashes, but for the most part, he was just absolutely atrocious. So I hope this year he's improved. You know, this is the second season going in with Sark as the coach. So more of his system, more of his DNA should be spreading throughout this Texas team. We are playing Alabama week two, so I'm very concerned with that game. But still looking forward to it because, like I said, with the Longhorns this year, it's great because there really aren't expectations. We don't have anything going into it this year because we've been such an awful team the last, Jesus, like 5 years, maybe even longer, it feels like, since we've even been halfway competitive or at least halfway decent. So it would be nice to see the Longhorns at least be decent this year. But Ewers is going to be our starting quarterback, and the AP did not rank Texas anywhere. All right, and we did have a little bit of news with the NBA this week. Starting off with LeBron James, he ended up signing a 2-year extension with the Los Angeles Lakers for $97.1 million. So congratulations to you, LeBron. And also, ha-ha to all you stupid idiots who for some reason thought LeBron James was going to be traded this year or something crazy was going to happen and he wasn't going to re-sign with the Lakers. Nah, I'm not shocked at all he re-signed with the Lakers because where the fuck else is LeBron James going? Tell me what is a better option for him unless it's something like going to the Milwaukee Bucks. And guess what? If he's getting traded to the Milwaukee Bucks, I guarantee you that trade's going to include some really good-ass players that wouldn't be on the team if LeBron was there. So just the fact that people thought he was going somewhere else was just very laughable to me. Obviously, I kind of feel like LeBron is going to try and play until his son reaches the league because his whole thing is he really wants to at least play 1 year with his son, which, hey, you're LeBron James. He doesn't have a lot of goals anymore because he's accomplished a lot. So, and that would be cool for him and his son if they could play on the same team for a season. So I feel like the only time LeBron James is not going to be a Laker is going to be if his son, whoever drafts his son, that's where he's going to sign. And he's not going to sign for a big deal. And another thing about LeBron's contract, for some odd reason, people are mad at him for getting a $97.1 million contract extension. And all I have to say to that is, why? He's LeBron fucking James. He deserves to be one of the highest paid players in the league. And a lot of people are talking about, oh, well, he could take in less money to make the roster better. Yeah, well, guess what? You don't get to tell him what business moves to make, first of all. Second of all, who are you? Have you ever signed a $97.1 million contract? I fucking doubt it. So how about you idiots stop giving advice on what people should do with their money? Like, I'm sorry. The Lakers had to pay him. He needed to get paid. And they had to pay him a lot. He's LeBron James. Sorry. So, anyways, the NBA also this week announced the schedule. So we actually have, we know what's going to happen this season. We know, the rain just started. Like a massive downpour just started out of nowhere. And my dog, it's kind of looking like he wants to bark, so hopefully he doesn't do that shit. But anyways, the NBA schedule, it was released this week, and so let's go over some of the highlights of the season. Starting off with the NBA tip-off this season, we start off on Tuesday, October 18th. It's going to be a doubleheader between the Philadelphia 76ers and the Boston Celtics, and then the Golden State Warriors, who will be receiving their championship rings. They will be hosting my Los Angeles Lakers, so we'll see how that starts the season off for the Lakers. Now, usually, championship nights are kind of weird for the championship team receiving their rings because lots of times you end up losing those games. So maybe the Lakers will be starting off the season nice. But I'm not going to get my hopes up. But also, we don't know how this team's going to look. Hopefully they won't have Russell Westbrook at that point. All right, and then also on Christmas Day, we're going to have five games once again, starting off with the Knicks versus the 76ers, then my Los Angeles Lakers visiting the Dallas Mavericks, which that's going to be a great matchup because I love Luka Doncic, Celtics hosting the Milwaukee Bucks, and then the Grizzlies versus the Warriors, and then rounding out Christmas Day is going to be the Nuggets versus the Suns. And then this year, the NBA is doing something a little bit different that they haven't done, is they're creating a Rivals Week, which basically means this is a week where rivals are going to be playing against each other, and it's going to be the week of January 23rd. And a couple of the games they highlighted, first of all, there's actually going to be a triple header on ABC on January 28th, so that's fucking awesome. Let's see. So a couple of the matchups we're going to have during Rivals Week is going to be the Lakers versus Celtics, of course. We're going to have the Nuggets versus the 76ers. And then the New York Knicks versus the Brooklyn Nets. So that's just a couple of the highlights during NBA Rivals Week. And then also this year, the NBA is doing some international games as well. The first one's going to be in Mexico City. It's going to be the Heat versus the Spurs on Saturday, December 17th. And then the second international game is going to be in Paris. It's going to be the Chicago Bulls versus the Detroit Pistons. I don't know why we sent those two shitty-ass teams to Paris. I'm sorry about that, guys. You are getting an absolutely shitty matchup. I mean, if this was the Michael Jordan, Isaiah Thomas, Chicago Bulls versus Detroit Pistons, yeah, they would have been getting a great matchup. But unfortunately, Paris is getting the 2022 Chicago Bulls and Detroit Pistons. Now, the Bulls might be okay, but the Pistons, I don't know. But sorry about you, Paris. That should have been a much better matchup. But I don't know what kind of basketball fans you guys are over there. But I know you're major fans of cigarettes over there. I've been to Paris, and that was like one of the number one things I noticed. How in love with their motherfucking cigarettes they are. Now, I don't care if you smoke, but holy hell, man. They on a whole of the way they smoke cigarettes is the way I smoke weed. Let's put it that way. All right, and then we're going to have a finals rematch this year versus, because you know the NBA finals ended up being the Warriors versus the Celtics. They are going to play each other in San Francisco on December 10th. And then another announcement with the NBA schedule, which I find completely stupid and self-righteous. And if you can't tell, from listening to the show, if you regularly listen to the show, or maybe you just started, I fucking hate self-righteous people. And by that, I mean anybody who just thinks they need to preach their bullshit to you, whether they are religious people, vegans, people who have children, or most importantly, especially these days, polititards, all you stupid idiots with your fucking political opinions. And the NBA, they've had to be cramming this down our throughout the last couple of years, and I'm fucking sick to death of it, but apparently they're not going to stop. So this year, the NBA is not going to have any NBA games on Election Day, so we can all be encouraged to go vote. First of all, this is stupid because NBA games during the week are on at night, so everybody's going to be done voting, or they should be done voting, by the time any NBA games would be starting. So first of all, that's fucking retarded. Second of all, just because you idiots take the day off, that doesn't mean anybody's going to be like, oh my God, the NBA's not on today. Oh, it's because it's Election Day. I better go vote. Like, how fucking self-righteous are you? That is just what I hate most about this day and age, is that all you political people think we're all just sitting around waiting for your stupid, shitty, mentally challenged political opinions. Guess what? I certainly am not. By the way, I am not a registered voter. I have never been a registered voter. I will never be a registered voter. And I most certainly won't become a registered voter. All because the NBA is taking election day off. And here's even what they said. Hey, their nice little announcement. I'll read it exactly how as it should be read. As election day approaches, the NBA and its teams will continue to encourage fans to make a plan to vote and participate in the civic process. New this season, all 30 teams will play on Monday, November 7th, on the day before Election Day, when the NBA will help promote voter participation. Great. So basically what they're telling me is I should not even fucking watch on November 7th because they're going to be cramming goddamn voting down my fucking throat. Anyways, back to their faggy little announcement here. Share important resources from voting organizations and highlight the civic engagement work of teams in their markets. As part of this initiative, no NBA games have been scheduled for Election Day on Tuesday, November 8th. Because we're a bunch of cocksucking morons. Hooray! God damn. And by the way, if you vote, cool, good for you. You're allowed to vote. That's the great thing about this country. You could choose to vote or you could choose not to vote, which is my goddamn American right. So if you are one of those lectury idiots who thinks, oh my God, if I lecture Katie on something, all of a sudden her opinion's going to change and she'll come over to my side and vote for my person. Nope. Won't be fucking doing that, y'all. Don't give a shit. Leave me alone with your voting. Leave me alone with your petitions. Leave me alone with your goddamn election bullshit. None of you are changing the world. You're all a bunch of self-righteous retards. So shut up. The NBA are a bunch of self-righteous assholes. And nobody is encouraged to go voting because they're taking the day off. Fuck right off. Anyways, now let's get to the NFL. Before I get to my predictions on the AFC and NFC North teams this season, we have to get to what has finally come to a close, and that is the stupid Dick Dangling Deshaun case. I am so glad we're done with this. It's so nice to finally have a conclusion to this because I was sick and tired of talking about this shit. So Deshaun Watson has finally been suspended. He's going to be suspended for 11 games and fined $5 million. This was an agreement, a settlement agreement that came about between the NFL and the NFLPA. And so, yes, this starts now. Coincidentally, the first game he's going to get to play is going to be in Week 13 at the Houston Texans. So that's pretty hilarious, in my opinion, just because no matter what, Deshaun Watson was getting booed at this game because that's his old team. And they didn't leave on good terms, so I'm sure there's plenty of fans who are happy to boo him. But now, shit's on high for you, homeboy, so that's going to be a hilarious game to watch. I bet you that's probably the only game this season that the Houston Texans will sell out. So, hey, cool. Week 13, there might be something to look out for, but this is finally over. I think all parties are happy with this result now, too, because they can all move the fuck on. Because you know, the season is right around the corner, and you know, the only thing that the NFL gives a shit about is that we're talking about football. They don't want to hear us talking about settlements, they don't want to hear us talking about suspensions, and they don't want to hear us talking about sexual harassment and massages and everything that goes along with what's come along with Deshaun Watson. But it's over now, and now they're happy. Everybody's got to be happy with this because now it's going to be out of the news cycle. We'll talk about it now because it just happened. Obviously, it'll probably get mentioned a couple more times, and then it'll get mentioned Week 13. But other than that, it will no longer be discussed anymore, really much anymore. And thank God for that, because there's no need. Now, with the Browns, I think this is hilarious, because the Browns have always been that team. Because the last couple of seasons, they've actually been building a pretty solid team. And then all of a sudden, they traded for Deshaun Watson, and they took a lot of risk by doing that, because for one, they're paying him a lot of money. And the reason why they did that, obviously, because they knew he would want to be traded there. And I understand that they wanted to move on from Baker Mayfield, but I don't know if this is the route you wanted to go, because now look at what happened. He's going to be gone through Week 13. They do have Jacoby Brissett, who is a solid backup quarterback. He's coming in this role numerous occasions throughout his entire career, and he's done it phenomenally. If Jacoby Brissett were the Cowboys' backup quarterback, I would be thrilled with that because that's his game. And I know that's weird to be like praising a dude about being a backup quarterback. And it's not to say that I don't think he could carry a team as a starter, but I just think he's proven time and again that when you put him in the game, he's a solid player. You can trust him and he knows what to do. So I think he's a good quarterback to replace Watson, at least for the time being. But it's just funny because the Browns have been building a pretty good team. They've been a team that's actually been competitive in the playoffs. Yeah, last year they didn't look good at all, but that was mostly due to injuries. But here they are once again as the laughingstock of the league because now Watson's going to miss the majority of the season. When he gets back, this team's probably not going to be that good. They might be 500 at best when he comes back. They probably won't make the playoffs. And so it's more, I don't know if this is going to end up being worth it for them in the end, but that's what the Cleveland Browns do, yo. So like I said, it's nice that this is over with, and we no longer have to fucking talk about this anymore because it was getting annoying talking about it just regularly when it's like, can you just suspend the dude and let's all move along? And there are people who are actually upset and think this is not a long enough suspension. I'm sorry. He was not. When I hear that kind of talk, I'm not really understanding what you expect because he was playing football regardless. Even if he was going to be suspended for the entire year, he would be coming back next year. Deshaun Watson's coming back regardless. He's been a good football player from college all the way up until now. He's been one of the top quarterbacks in the league. And had all these lawsuits not happened, a lot more teams would have been willing to trade for him as well. So he probably wouldn't even be playing for the Browns, as a matter of fact, if all of this wouldn't have happened. He'd be playing for probably a much more competitive team. So with that being said, he was playing regardless because he's a good football player. And I know that's very upsetting to some people. I mean, hell, I'm a woman. I know what it's like to be treated like shit. Luckily, I've never been raped or put in any that kind of a shitty position, but it really does suck to see that guys like him get away with the shitty things that they do, but unfortunately, that's life. It's not just the NFL that does that. That's pretty much everywhere in life. That's the way it works, and I know that's people don't like that, but I'm sorry. In my opinion, 11 games is actually a good suspension, and I knew even if he was getting a season-long suspension, he was coming back. Deshaun Watson was getting his money. He was coming back, and he's going to play. Now, in my personal opinion, I don't think Deshaun Watson's career is going to pan out. I think he's done. And not because of the lawsuits. I think he's done because he took last year off. You don't take a year off unless it's due to injury and maintain playing well. I mean, Le'Veon Bell is the perfect example. He did this many years ago with the Pittsburgh Steelers. He wanted to be paid as the highest running back in the league. Steelers didn't want to pay him. And so what did he do? He held out for the entire year. And where the fuck is Le'Veon Bell now? Nowhere to be found. He was a journeyman, basically. He did get paid at first, but then he petered out and got traded away. And now I don't even think he's on a team right now. So that's kind of what I think is going to happen to Deshaun Watson. A, he plays for the Bengals. He plays for the Browns. They're a shitty team and a shitty organization. Chances are he's just going to turn into shit because he plays for the Browns. But I think taking a year off, I don't think that helped his case at all. I don't think that makes him a better player at all. And I think that was what was going to hurt him in the long run. And now he's going to miss half of this season. So that's basically he's missing a year and a half of football. I don't really think that's going to translate into many wins. But we'll see. You never know. You never know. All right, so now let's get to my season predictions. Let's start off with the NFC North. And the team that I think is going to win the NFC North is the Green Bay Packers. I actually think the Packers are going to be one of the best teams in the NFC yet again. I think they're going to go 13-4 this year. And it's really weird to me because I don't think a lot of people are picking the Packers like I am. For some reason, I think a lot of people, because, you know, they did trade away Devontae Adams, which was a big deal. But in my opinion, Aaron Rodgers makes the wide receivers. I mean, he's done it his entire career. So I don't really see it being a problem for them missing Davante Adams. I just see somebody else or others stepping up in his place because Aaron Rodgers is still a spectacular quarterback, and he's coming into the season with no drama. They took care of his quarterback extent or his contract extension months ago, so there wasn't any of that drama. There really wasn't any drama at all. They really just traded away Davante Adams. They didn't really make any big moves. But overall, I mean, their defense is not talked about, and I think this defense is going to be one of the best in the league. I think this is what's going to carry them. I think it's going to be Aaron Rodgers offensively who carries them. They got a great running back core as well. You got Aaron Jones back there, and I can't remember who the backup is, but he's also very solid as well. So they're set offensively. And then defensively, like I said, I think they're going to be one of the best in the league. So I think a lot of people are sleeping on the Packers. I do think they lack depth at the wide receiver position. But until it's proven that these receivers can't hang, I'm going to go with what I've seen throughout Aaron Rodgers' career. And that's he turns players that nobody heard of Davante Adams before he became Davante Adams. And I think that part of the reason why, because I'm not trying to take away from Davante Adams, spectacular wide receiver, of course. But I think a lot of the reason why he was so good is because his quarterback was Aaron Rodgers. So I do think the Packers are going to be one of the best teams in the NFC this year. And I think they're going to go 13-4. Then I think the Minnesota Vikings are going to finish right behind them at 10-7. This offseason, they lost Anthony Barr. But they did add Za'Darius Smith, who actually used to play for the Packers. So I think that's a big deal right there. The thing with the Vikings, though, is you can't ever trust them. They have a great offense. I mean, especially if you just look at them on paper, this should be one of the best offenses in the league. I mean, overall, Kirk Cousins is a very mediocre quarterback, but he can get the ball to the guys when he needs to. It's just you can't really count on him if it's like a comeback type of win. But really, if you want him to just throw the ball all day to Adam Thielen and Justin Jefferson, they're going to be good. And so I think offensively, they're going to light people up. It's on defense where I think their main problem is going to be. Just because they did lose a lot of players this offseason defensively who have been their kind of like their powerhouse core defensive players. So I think that's going to be their weakness and probably what's going to set them back throughout the season. But they are in a shitty ass division. So I think they'll get some decent wins. And I think they'll end up making the playoffs when it's all said and done. Then in third place in the NFC North, I think it's going to be the Detroit Lions. I think they'll end up 8-9. That's about a typical season for the Lions. Either that or they're really awful. I don't think they're a really awful team, but they're what they're what they always are. They did add their draft pick, Aiden Hutchinson, who looks like he's going to be a great defensive end. I like that guy. And their offensive line is actually something to brag about. They have a really stout offensive line, which they really need because Jared Goff is not a mobile quarterback at all. He's not a very good quarterback either. But he's definitely going to need that. But other than that, like at wide receiver, they have no depth. When I was looking at their wide receivers, I was like, who the hell are y'all? And your quarterback's Jared Goff. So good luck with that. And then defensively, they don't have much going on defensively. So I think it's just going to be another typical mediocre Detroit Lions season. And then rounding out the NFC North, I think it's going to be the Chicago Bears. This offseason, they lost Allen Robinson and Khalil Mack. I think their record's going to be like 5-12. They didn't make any major additions this offseason, which is just pathetic because Justin Fields is coming into his second year. And you could tell Justin Fields actually has potential to be at least a decent quarterback. But the Bears didn't do one positive thing for him offensively in this offseason. They didn't make any moves on the offensive line, which they really needed to because they had one of the worst offensive lines in the league last year. And now you're going to have Justin Fields running for his life. They have no running backs. They have no receivers. And their defense, which is what they're mostly known for, is also absolute trash. And right now, Roquan Smith, their only good defensive player, is holding out and probably going to get traded. So the Chicago Bears are probably going to have an awful season. And I think it sucks for Justin Fields because I think he's going to be – I think he's a good quarterback. But he's just going to be running for his life this year. And I have a feeling he might even end up getting injured at some point because he's got no offensive line. So it's going to be a long year for the Chicago Bears. Then moving over to the AFC North, I had the Baltimore Ravens winning the NFC North. I have them going 12-5 this year. Their only major loss this offseason was they traded away Hollywood Brown to the Arizona Cardinals. He was really Lamar Jackson's only major receiving weapon that he had outside of the tight end. I just think the reason why the Ravens underachieved last year was due to injuries. But this year, they're coming in very healthy. I mean, last year, the injuries started right at training camp, and they just seem to keep coming. So this year, they actually have a healthy team. The running backs are healthy, so their ground attack is obviously going to be really good. And their defense is solid also. So defensively and running back and quarterback, they're set. Offensive line, they're set. It's really just the wide receiver position that I'm worried about just because they didn't get any weapons for Lamar Jackson. And they really only subtracted for him. So I think that's going to be probably their biggest weakness. But I think the fact that they're much more healthy this year is a good thing. And that's why I think they're going to win the division. Then coming in second in the AFC North, I think the Cincinnati Bengals are going to have a down year. I think they're going to end up with a 9-8 record. And it's really just because I think they are going to suffer from a Super Bowl hangover. You know, it started with the training camp when Joe Burrow had to get an appendectomy. Now, that's not a major injury. It's not going to keep him out for the season, but that's never the way you want to start training camp off. You don't ever want to start off with injuries, especially to your quarterback. So I think that was a setback, and I just kind of see the dominoes falling that way this entire season where maybe they're going to get some bad injuries of guys who are going to be out for a little while. They did lose CJ Uzomah this offseason. He was their tight end who made some big plays for them last year. So they lost him. But they did add Lyle Collins to their offensive line, and they definitely needed offensive line help. That was their biggest weakness, so that's a good move for them. They do probably have one of the best wide receiving cores in the league, so that's not going to be a weakness at all. But their defense is extremely questionable, in my opinion. So, but like I said, with the Bengals, I think it's just going to be more of like, because the reason why they got to the Super Bowl last year, and I'm not trying to say they weren't a good team, because they were a good team, but a lot of luck had to happen along the way as well. You know, some of the matchups that happened, there were some injuries that happened. There were a lot of things that needed to happen for them to actually make the Super Bowl, and that's just kind of the way it went. It wasn't more of them kicking the crap out of certain teams, and I'm not trying to take anything away from them because they did have a good season last year, but I just kind of think we're going to see more of what they are this year, and I just, like I said, when you come into the season with your quarterback having an appendectomy, usually the dominoes keep falling in a negative way when shit like that happens during the offseason. But who knows? They're still a solid team. They got great offensive weapons. They probably will get some decent wins. But other than that, I actually don't think the Bengals are even going to be a playoff team this year. Then at number three, I think the Cleveland Browns will finish in the AFC North in third place. I think they will have an 8-9 record. Obviously, they added Deshaun Watson, but he's not going to be playing until week 13, so that doesn't matter. They traded away Baker Mayfield to the Carolina Panthers, and then they added Amari Cooper, which I think is a great addition because you definitely need some leadership. And that's what Amari Cooper is going to bring. Not only a great playmaker, but he's a solid veteran with great leadership. And they do have a good defense, definitely in Cleveland. But their offensive line is very questionable to me. And like I said, it's just been way too much turmoil with Deshaun Watson all offseason. The whole quarterback thing is going to be a problem. Now you're hearing rumblings about the possibility of Jimmy Garoppolo being traded there. And I don't even think that's a worthwhile move, even if that's a thought for them. Because I just say, ride with Jacoby Brissett. Why bother going out and getting Garoppolo when you got Brissett, a decent backup quarterback there who could definitely hold it down, at least until Watson gets back. But regardless, too much drama for me, so I don't think the Browns are going to have a good season at all. And then rounding out the NFC North or AFC North, I have the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think they're going to have an awful season this year. I think they're going to go 4-13. This offseason, they lost Ben Roethlisberger to retirement, Juju Smith-Schuster, and Joe Hayden. So those were kind of some staples that they lost. A couple of additions they made were through the draft with Kenny Pickett. He looks like he's probably going to end up being the starting quarterback at some point this season. And then George Pickens, man, he is a solid-looking wide receiver. If there's one thing that the Pittsburgh Steelers know how to do, that is draft wide receivers. I can't recall the last time the Pittsburgh Steelers did not have really good wide receivers. And this George Pickens guy, he looks like he is the real deal, and he looks like he might be the next number one for them. So the pros with this team, definitely the defense. The defense is going to hold it down for them, but unfortunately, that's how bad their offense is going to be. Their offense their defense is going to get them onto the field, but then they're going to probably have a lot of three and outs and the defense will be right back out. And then eventually they'll start petering out because they'll be on the field too long. So they do have a solid defense, but the offense is going to let them down. Now, offensively, they do have a stacked wide receiving core. They have Deontay Johnson, Chase Claypool, and then George Pickens, the rookie I'm talking about. And then even the couple of guys behind them, pretty good receivers. Their cons, though, offensive line, still no improvements at all. And they're coming in this season with question marks galore at the quarterback position. Right now, Mitchell Trubisky is going to be the starter. And then you've got Mason Rudolph, who's kind of been their backup quarterback in Pittsburgh for, what, like the last 4 or 5 years. So he's already been in this role for a while. And then you have the rookie Kenny Pickett. So I have a feeling what we're going to see from the Pittsburgh Steelers this season from the quarterback position is the rotating quarterbacks. And that's never good for a team. I mean, like I said, the offensive line is trash. So I wouldn't be shocked if Mitchell Trubisky comes in and gets hurt and then Mason Rudolph has to come in and then Mason Rudolph just plays so bad they're finally just like, well, let's just put Kenny Pickett in. So I just kind of see that being the theme for the Steelers this year. I think their defense is going to be great. But offensively, I think they're going to be about as bad as they were last year. Probably worse, because at least Roethlisberger, he was a veteran and he knew what he was doing. And even though he wasn't playing like he used to, he's got more experience than these three guys combined. And, you know, Trubisky, he has underachieved his entire career. Rudolph has just been a backup his entire career, and Pickett's a rookie. So you really can't expect much from any one of them. So, I think the Steelers are going to have a horrible season. And that's what I'm predicting so far for the NFC and AFC North teams. On Monday, I will talk about the AFC and NFC South teams. So like I said, we've got a big weekend with, UFC 278. We're really looking forward to that fight this weekend. Got a shit ton of baseball. And of course we got more preseason football on tap. We are getting closer and closer to football season. So, enjoy the weekend of sports, everybody. And I will talk to you all on Monday. Peace out, homies.